It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and although it's not going to be much of a weekend for gardening or landscaping, it is the perfect time to dream about spring and to make some plans to take care of winter chores. And with me today, Jeff Iles, professor and chair of the Horticulture Department at Iowa State University. Hello, Jeff.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. And also, of course, Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
Welcome back. All right. So let's start by talking about one of those winter chores, a chore we can only really do safely during the wintertime, and that is pruning our oak trees. We get that question all year long. Is it okay to prune my oak trees? Now is the time, right, Jeff?
It is. It is. Even today and tomorrow, Charity, let's not be wimpy about this. In fact, I love to prune during the height of a storm.
So. Really? Because you get that wind boost and...
You can always go inside.
All right.
But you're right. And your teaser at the top of the hour was very, very appropriate, very succinct. We don't prune oak trees during the growing season because of the specter of oak wilt. And if you know anything about the fungal pathogen that causes that disease that afflicts so many oak trees, it's that it's moved around the landscape by a beetle. And so we don't want to open up our oak trees during a time where that beetle might visit our trees and invade or at least deposit the fungal organism onto an open wound. So that's why we avoid pruning during the growing season. So it begs the question, well, when is it safe? And according to many experts, and I consulted Mr. Vitosh even before we came on this morning because I know
of
he's out there.
Of course you did.
He's lurking somewhere out there. But I think we both are on the same page with this. So you might have a window of opportunity from sometime in November after a couple of hard frosts. Maybe that's the beginning of the oak pruning season through the month of February and stopping pruning sometime in early March. So it's hard to be exact because weather conditions will vary from year to year. But generally, we're safe from November through to early March, March 1st. Let's just say March 1st.
Okay. And are there, I assume, because our weather is so crazy, that there have to be exceptions to that rule. Are there things that we should look for that might make that not the case?
Well, if you recall, I forget the year when it was, we had a relatively warm winter one year. In fact, we had temperatures in the 70s, it seems, in February. And those are the kind of years where you might stop pruning earlier, but it is so hard to assign a specific calendar date. We're thankful that we have professionals with the DNR. Mr. Tivone Feely does a good job of looking for when these beetles are active and usually sends out an announcement when we should stop pruning in late winter, early spring. So I look for those, but it is very hard to assign a calendar date that's consistent from year to year. The other thing that we need to consider, though, when you're pruning trees, yes, we're worried about oak wilt on oaks, but it begs the question also, what's best for the tree? And we know through research that's been done by lots of great folks that trees respond to wounding best during the growing season. So we're conflicted. If trees are going to respond best to a pruning wound in the summer, but we might open them up to infection, to oak wilt, then what do we do? Well, so that's why I tend to focus on the month of February, because the closer we get to the growing season, the sooner that wound is going to close, is going to respond to the pruning wound. And so if I had my preferences, and I realize if you're in this business to make money, the professionals have to need a wider window. But if I'm a homeowner, I might focus more on the month of February.
Okay. So that was a good time to make plans. And you don't actually recommend that we go out in a blizzard and prune trees anyway.
No.
But let's talk about how we know that we should be pruning our oak trees. Obviously, there are some obvious things that can indicate it, but
sure,
there are some less obvious things, too.
Well, we can make a huge difference in the life of that tree, the functional life of any oak tree, by paying attention to its pruning needs early on. Just like a dog, like a child, like a fish, anything, you know, the sooner we get to them, the better they're going to be. So I look at young trees, and I always look for a central leader. If I can develop a nice central leader on a young tree, whether that be oak or maple, then I'm that further ahead. I look for branches that are too close to each other, or branches that might be rubbing, crossing, wounding themselves. And I try to eliminate those problems. So the first thing I do is look for flaws. If I've got a double leader, I try to correct that and form one. If I have branches too close together, I might correct that problem. But always keeping in mind that the last thing I want to do is over prune a young tree. You can take too much tissue off at one time and, in essence, set the tree back. I also like to leave lower branches on young trees because it helps to create good stem diameter development at the ground. It also helps develop good root systems. So avoid the temptation to limb trees up or to remove lower branches prematurely or too many at one time.
All right. And as you're looking for guidance, maybe, do you have resources that you recommend? Because, you know, yeah, it's not intuitive to all of us.
Well, it's not intuitive. And as much as I love radio, this is not the best medium to talk about things that need pictures.
Right, right.
And so I still think we should assemble over in your studio. One of the,
all of us?
Bring in a camera or something.
Okay.
And we can, or maybe go out on location. but you're right. So how do you know how to do this? Where are some pictures? Well, there are some extension publications that will get you started. Maybe that's the best place to go. If any of our listeners ever have a question about pruning, I love receiving pictures of trees, and we can talk about them that way. But just like fish and dogs and kids, they're all different. Each one is different. Each case has to be handled individually. And so, again, it's hard to be general. So what I've given you, the central leader thing, the good branching thing, and not going crazy all at one time, are good generalized recommendations for almost any tree.
The in thinking about your oak tree and pruning in February, is it a problem if you overdo? Is that one of the big risks?
Yeah, and so keep in mind that pruning is not something you do in 2020 and then you come back to the tree in 2027. To me, pruning, especially trees, is done on an annual basis. And so if I do it on an annual basis, I'm not confronted with a huge problem every year. In fact, it's usually kind of nibbling around the edges. But yes, if you leave it to once every 5 or 7 year rotation, then you probably have some major problems and you might run the risk of over-pruning. Remember, branches have stored food in them, and those branches give rise to leaves that are going to feed the tree for the coming year. So the last thing we want to do is deprive it of this food-making machinery, the photosynthetic machinery. So try to prune only what is needed, and if you do that on an annual basis, then you run less of a risk of over-pruning.
The summer months will come and things will happen, and
right,
some of us will make mistakes, but also the wind blows and a branch falls,
yep,
you know, things happen.
Yep.
So if you do have to prune or mistakenly prune your oak tree during the summer, how do you take care of it?
Right, right. And stuff does happen, as we all know. And so if you have to prune oak during the growing season for one of those reasons, then this is one of the few cases where we do recommend some kind of a wound sealant, a wound protectant, over that cut face of the wound to keep the bugs out of that fresh wound. So a pruning paint, a wound sealer, even latex paint diluted with some water is a good thing to coat that wound with. But that is the only time we would use that. And again, it's to keep the picnic beetles, those little insects that vector to disease, keep them away from the vascular system of the tree. But remember, these pruning sealers, pruning paints don't help the tree cope with the wound. They're simply limiting access to the tree from that beetle.
Right, so it's not a surefire solution. Right. But also, just to reiterate, because treating wounds on trees, pruning cuts, used to be common practice.
Yeah.
But now you don't recommend that under any other circumstances.
No, I don't. And as we sit here this morning, I'm going to stick by that recommendation. Now, there are people working on this subject, and who knows, maybe someday there'll be a product that we can use that might actually help the wound closure process progress. But right now, I don't know of anything that works that way. The best thing we can do is prune at the right time of the year, practice good mechanics, and not over prune, and if the tree is healthy, then it should respond. We can't get away from the fact that pruning is wounding. We're we're wounding the plant. And so we try to create small wounds when we prune. We try to only prune when necessary. And if we do that, then the tree will have a good long life.
All right. And we got an email already this morning saying, hey, please include ash and maple when discussing the best time to prune oak trees. Now, of course, we talk about oak trees because oak wilt is a special threat to oak trees. So there are special circumstances for oak trees. But give us a little bit of guidance, because I'm sure many of us, once we start thinking about pruning one kind of tree, our mind leads us to the next.
Well, our window of opportunity opens dramatically when we talk about lots of other species, ash and maple included. I'm still a big fan of the late dormant season, February and March, for those species because the leaves are gone. And I can see the tree's architecture, and I can see the bones of the tree and know more easily what to remove and what to leave. But summer pruning is fine with those species. And as I mentioned, trees, if the tree had a say in this, it would say, hey, prune me during the months of April and August, because that's when I'm going to respond to the wound most quickly and most efficiently. And so we can prune in the late dormant season. We can prune in the summer for other species besides oak. The times that I avoid usually are fall. I don't like to prune September, October, November because the tree is getting ready for winter. And as we just mentioned, wounds don't close very quickly at that time of the year. In fact, they don't close at all. So I avoid that time of the year. But really, the window's further open for other species.
All right. And if there is a crisis, it's not quite as much of a crisis.
No. I mean, yeah, just... Just call us, Charity.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
we have the answers, or at least, 70% of
them. We just sound confident.
Right. All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. It is Horticulture Today on Talk of Iowa. With me, Jeff Iles, professor and chair of the Horticulture Department at Iowa State University. Richard Giron is also here, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. And they're here to answer your questions about trees, about plants, about planning your garden for spring, about your ailing house plants in the dry air of winter. Give us a call, 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Jeff Iles, professor and chair of the Horticulture Department at Iowa State University, and Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. They are here to answer your questions. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And I suspect that the two of you also get a lot of joy from this. In the winter, I think there's nothing quite as enjoyable as being inside when there's a blizzard going on outside and thumbing through your seed catalog, dreaming of spring. I mean, this is a great time for planning, right?
Right. And basically, you have seeds like Stokes seeds, Burpee, Parks, Harris seeds, and actually right now is when you want to look through those and make your decisions, because right now, if you send in an order, they typically respond very quickly. If you wait, they're going to be much more busy, and there may be a delay as far as the shipment.
All right, so really, you have to do it now.
This will be a good weekend for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're looking through those seed catalogs, a problem that both my husband and I have is that we get a little overexcited. And we buy more than we should, and we think we can do things that we absolutely don't have time or even necessarily space to do. Do you have any guidance for those of us who get overexcited about maybe making realistic plans?
I look at those that are basically tried and true, those that you know will grow and do well, and then look at some of the new ones and look for those that really interest you. And maybe place a small order on those plants, maybe just a few seeds, maybe 25 or 50, and do an experiment, see how they do.
All right. So be realistic for the most part and then take some chances, have some adventures too. All right. 866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Craig is on the line in Orient. Hi, Craig.
Good morning. I have a cedar tree windbreak I need to trim mulberries out of, volunteer mulberries. What's the best time to do that and how to treat the mulberry so it doesn't hurt the cedar tree and takes care of the mulberry? Mm.
I think what I would probably do on that is wait till spring and allow the mulberries to leaf out and then cut them off near the ground and then take some glyphosate or Roundup and pour that in a small container and then take a foam-type paintbrush, dip that in the Roundup, and then dab that on the cut surface.
Couple of the mulberries are almost 2.5 inches in diameter. Will that still work?
It will still work, yes.
You're
going to wait until the actual tree is leafed out because at that point, the tree is actively growing, and it will absorb that exposed tissue, is living tissue. It will absorb the material and then send it down into the roots, and that will destroy the root system. And so you want to do this, and within like an hour or so, put on the Roundup. Because if you wait, the tissue near the cut surface will dry out and die and no longer absorb the Roundup. And the Roundup itself will not affect the cedars at all or any other plants. You have to apply that product directly to the plant. So that would be the safest.
All right, Craig, thanks a lot for your call. And I mean, when you talk about applying glyphosate that way, Richard, I mean, the point is you do not want to take it out and spray that tree.
Putting it on with a foam type paintbrush is very specific. You're not getting it on other plants. And the nice thing is that the glyphosate is not going to leave the roots of the mulberry and go to the other plants. It stays basically in the soil. So the other plants are safe.
All right, let's go to the phones again. 866-780-9100 is the number. Kathleen is on the line in Gilbertville. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I have a question. Is it possible to grow a California oak tree in Iowa? They don't lose their leaves, really, and they spread out from the ground. They have very long, beautiful, if you've never seen them, thick, coming out from the trunk. So the trunk will be split, you know, right by the ground. It'll sort of split, and there could be three or four branches that are as thick as the trunk, and they grow along the ground. So they're not very high, and I love them. They're very, very beautiful trees. Is it possible, or would it be torture for the poor tree?
Maybe for both. Kathleen, I don't really know which species we're talking about, but I have seen them. They're very picturesque, large lateral branches, and from a distance, they create quite a silhouette against the sky. Short answer, probably not. I doubt if those trees would thrive or even do very well, or maybe they wouldn't even live in this environment. Remember, the climate in California is a lot different, and I realize California is a huge state, and so I'm making a big generalization they just wouldn't do well here primarily because of our low temperatures. They just don't experience the same kind of low temperatures out there that we would have here.
Yeah. Okay. Could I ask another question of you? So with this same problem of the weather, a tulip tree. I would love to grow a tulip tree in my yard. And do you think it would be possible to do it here?
So Gilbertville, where is that?
It's Northeast Iowa.
Northeast Iowa. Okay. You know, if you asked me this question 15 years ago, I would be less optimistic than I am today. I've been surprised at how we have planted recently a lot of tulip trees in many parts of the state, and they've done very well. So I think it's certainly a better bet than the California oaks we just talked about. I would probably start with a smaller specimen, something maybe grown in a container purchased at a local nursery, and I wouldn't go overboard with a large tree, but a small container-grown plant. and give it a good location. Remember, if you're successful, this tree will become mammoth someday. They like nice soils. They're not big fans of heavy clay or compacted soils, so try to find a good spot for it. Plan for success. Give it lots of room. Mulch it, water it properly, and give it a go.
Okay, that sounds great. I'm thinking of maybe putting it right close to the house, because I've actually seen one climb up like a trail up around the house, and I thought that would be protection. But if it's going to get as big as you say, it might knock my little house over.
Yeah, so, I'd give it some room. I'm a little leery of having large branches hanging over my house anyway. So, you know, if the wingspan of a tulip tree is going to be 40 feet, I'd want to come 20 feet away from the house.
Okay, I'll be dead before it's 40 feet. At least I can enjoy it.
Well,
while it's young.
Right. Well, give it a shot and let us know how it turns out.
Oh, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks a lot for your call, Kathleen. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. I think planting a tree is a wonderful act of optimism.
It is.
An investment in the future. Patricia is on the line in northern Missouri. Hi, Patricia.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Sure.
I have a pear tree, an antique, I guess you'd call it, pear tree. My great-grandfather planted it years ago, and it's about 35 to 40 feet tall, and it desperately needs a trim. And I'm wondering what's the best time of year, if you could let me know, to trim a pear tree. And also, I've noticed since all the leaves are gone this winter, it has some sort of a vine growing in the upper branches of the tree. And I wondered if there's anything to do about that. I know it's probably starting to choke it out or something.
Well, as far as pruning, as far as timing, I would do that sometime in March. And I guess the first thing that I would do would be to prune out any dead branches, any broken branches, branches that may be hanging down too low. And if it's very, very thick, maybe some thinning of some of these smaller branches so you get better airflow. As far as the vine, I would probably just go ahead and cut it off near the ground and see if it comes back up.
Okay, so I don't need to try to untangle the part that it's trying to take over the upper branches.
Yeah, but right, just cut it off near the ground. And that's going to kill everything beyond that point, and it will gradually disintegrate.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, Patricia. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can also email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Dennis is up next in Ankeny. Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
I have a 10-foot tall, I have actually three of them, 10-foot tall burning bushes. And I was wanting to know if I could trim them down, and when's the best time to do that?
I would prune those probably in March, and you can definitely prune them. I would probably prune them back overall maybe 30% or a third possibly, and they'll tolerate that very well.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's covering my house, so I'm trying to remove some of it.
Yeah. I would try not to give it a haircut, but selectively prune out certain branches and overall reduce the size by maybe a third or so.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call, Dennis. 866-780-9100. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. Richard Giron and Jeff Isles are here from Iowa State University. No better way to overcome an oncoming winter storm than to think about the spring. Linda's up next in Independence. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. What's your question?
My husband wants to put up a shed in an area that has been a flower bed for some time. So I'm going to relocate some of the things. But one thing that is massive and is very difficult to dig out is a baptisia. And it's right in the middle of this thing.
Yes,
so
they are.
So is it best for us to try to use like a Roundup, or how can I kill this thing that is going to have a shed on top of it later on?
You know, I would try to move it.
I don't want it.
Well,
okay. Well, maybe you know someone who does.
Maybe you know someone. I would try
very
to.
Very hard to dig out.
Oh, I know they are. They are. Yes. But I think I would still try. So I would go out. I don't know if, when you plan on doing this, but I would go out in the spring as soon as the ground is workable, and I would take my shovel, and I would try to dig it up and try to keep it intact as best you can, and either replant it or give it to someone else and see what it does. It doesn't transplant easily, but there's a chance it will survive, and if it does, it's a really attractive long-lived plant.
I just don't think it's going to be good to have a building on top of it.
No, no, and I would try to get rid of it.
I don't know whether that would kill it out.
Oh, eventually, sure, it's going to kill it out. It needs light. It needs to come up. It needs light, and if it's deprived of that, for example, you can kill grass in the yard. By simply covering it with a tarp or a piece of carpeting and
correct.
Leave it there for several correct. Weeks. That will kill it because they
that
need
might,
light. So
that might be our easiest solution is just to cover it.
So that would apply to any plant that you cover. It's going to die.
Right, right. Okay, I just didn't know whether Roundup would take care of it in the early spring or not.
Well, something like glyphosate, the plants have to be actively growing. And so you'd probably have
right.
to wait until maybe May or so to apply that.
That's,
so
that's what I was thinking as well. All right. Well, you've confirmed my question. Thank you.
All right, Linda, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100. We have an email from Carl in Runnels, and he just wanted to add in his two cents about planting tulip trees. He says that he has been successful with his tree. His is huge and maybe 30 years old. The only thing to watch for on young trees is sun scald on the bark in the winter.
Right.
Would there be a way to prevent that?
Right. Well, sun scald is kind of a crazy thing. It usually shows up on the south or southwest side of the trunk, and it really is the death of trunk tissue. And we think it's caused by fluctuating temperatures during the winter. We know also from a couple of studies that one way to help trees avoid sun scald is to water them properly, make sure they don't suffer drought stress, leave lower branches on when they're young. So we've heard that before, right? And then you could wrap the trunk with one of those paper tree wrap things and see if that helps. But it does happen a lot on maples, on lindens, and we see it on tulip tree. But I'm a big fan of the watering and the lower branch, leaving those on is a kind of a nice way to limit the extent of sun scald damage.
All right. Well, and of course, Runnels is in the southern part of Polk County, Gilbertville, way up in northeastern Iowa, where I grew up. And
right.
I promise you that it is colder in northeastern Iowa than it is in central Iowa
yep.
by almost consistently 10 degrees, maybe
sure.
20 all
sure.
winter long. So, but you still think she's got a shot up there.
I'd give it a shot.
Worth a try.
Yeah.
Steve is up next in Mount Vernon. Hi, Steve.
Hello. I want to know if white oak or oak wilt affects red oak and white oak equally.
Not equally. We seem to find that that oak wilt favors the red oak group. So red oak, black oak. It's not unheard of to see it on the white oak group, white and burr, but it seems to go after red oak much more frequently and. I'd like to give you a good answer as to why that happens, but I'm not quite sure myself. But I wouldn't
okay.
take any chances. I would treat all oak the same.
No. I just wanted to confirm something someone told me years ago.
Yeah.
And that kind of does.
Okay.
So, all right. Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call. We are going to take a short break here. I was going to go to another call, but I realized now is not the time to go to another call. So we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back to answer more questions. And we do have about 30 seconds here. Jeff, as you're thinking about spring, thinking about planting trees, this seems like a really good time for making those choices.
Oh, man. I look out my back door every night, and or not every night, but when it's still light out, And I look at all the space in my yard, which is deceiving because I really have a lot of trees in my backyard. But yeah, you can look at the backyard right now or your front yard and find areas where a tree might go. So yeah.
All right. Blue a good time to see the space.
It is.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment to answer your questions. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Jeff Iles, Professor and Chair of the Horticulture Department at Iowa State University. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. Jeff Iles is here, Professor and Chair of the Horticulture Department at Iowa State University, and Richard Giron, ISU Extension Horticulture Specialist. You can join us with your questions, 866-780-9100, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Next up, we've got Marilee on the line in Fort Dodge. Hi, Marilee.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's your question?
I have a rather large jade plant that has got powdery mildew starting at the base of some of its leaves. I was wondering what I should do about that.
Boy, there's not much you can do. You can try to maybe increase air circulation with a small fan near it. That might be of some benefit. But fungicides aren't very effective. So you might want to try to improve air circulation, make sure it gets plenty of sun as much as possible, because when plants are growing in environments where the growing conditions aren't the best, they tend to be more prone to disease. So if it's not getting enough sun, maybe moving it to a sunnier site.
Okay, well, I have it on the southwest side.
Okay.
It's getting plenty of sun, and I do have a fan on it. I've had a fan on it for a couple of weeks. But it's not getting worse, but it's not getting better. I just wondered if there was something else I should do.
Well, it's not going to clear up immediately, but I would also say as the growing conditions indoors gradually improve over the next 2 or 3 months, where the plants get more sunlight, that type of thing, that maybe eventually it might kind of fade away.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Marilee. Next up, Helen in Iowa City. Hi, Helen.
Hi. I have an invasion of hemlock, and it's in among my vinca and hostas and irises, and I fought it all last year. Can you tell me how to get rid of it?
So this is the hemlock tree, correct?
No, it's ground hemlock, you know, it's sort of citrusy smelling and has a root that just spreads and sends up. It's kind of a trefoil leaf.
Okay. I think what you might have to do is maybe dig up some of these plants that you want to keep and put them elsewhere for a short time and then dig up this plant repeatedly and over time destroy the root system, and then maybe at some point replant back into that area. But you may have to move some of these plants and put them elsewhere and repeatedly dig up this plant and be persistent. And once you get rid of it, and it may take quite some time, put back your plants. Some of these plants are very hard to destroy, but it takes persistence. You can't give up. So, I would definitely, like I said, dig up some of these plants, put them elsewhere, put them in pots, and then try to dig this up.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Helen.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for your call. Esther is next in Indianola. Hi, Esther.
Hi, Esther. Hi. I have 2 hydrangea trees. And, you know, that have the big poofy white blossoms. They're fairly new. I planted them back in June. And I'm wondering what kind of care I should give them over the winter. I'm from Southern California. I have no idea in Iowa what I need to do with these guys.
Well, you shouldn't have to do much. I think my biggest concern might be rabbits. So if you have a rabbit issue, I would have something around that trunk to prevent them from reaching the trunk. You could use chicken wire fencing, okay. You could use hardware cloth, whatever. But that to me would be the biggest concern, that if we have snow cover and it persists for several weeks, then hungry rabbits might go after the trunk.
Esther, are they pretty
strong? Do I do any?
Are they fairly strong in the ground? Are they kind of floppy, or are they pretty sturdy in the ground?
They're pretty sturdy. We've had some really high winds. They haven't leaned or anything. And I do have a support around them, but they haven't seemed to need it.
Yeah. One thing you might do is remove the old flower panicles. They're usually brown by this time of the year, of course, but that might relieve some of the weight up top. But it's pretty. Those are pretty easy plants to grow for us, as Richard says. They're pretty easy to coexist with. They like full sun. You really can't do much wrong with them.
Oh, great.
All right. Esther, thanks a lot for your call. Welcome to Iowa.
Thank you.
And good luck this weekend in the storm. Cecile's up next in Iowa City. Hi, Cecile.
Hi. I have a question about a giant hackberry. It's probably been, it was a volunteer maybe 50 years ago. I don't know. It was here when we moved into our house. It's growing right into the driveway, causing the concrete to heave. But it also grew into a wire fence along the driveway. If we want to remove that tree, is it even possible?
Sure. Anything's possible, Cecile. That might be kind of an expensive proposition. I guess your first step is to get a hold of a good qualified tree care service, an arborist, somebody that is certified, that is insured, that is bonded, that has a good reputation. And I would have him or her come out and give the tree a look. It sounds like it's already causing some infrastructure problems, but a hackberry that old always raises concern because they also have a reputation of becoming kind of weak or developing bad branch angles as they mature. And so if you've never had this tree assessed by a professional, then I would have that done. Of course, removing the tree is simple. Removing the root system is not so simple, and that might require doing some pavement work once the tree has ground down to the stump. But I'd have somebody come out and give that thing a look.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. And let's do a few email questions here. This one's from Mary. She says, I have a hibiscus that I bought last spring and brought inside to keep over the winter. It did very well outside, but now has black spots all over the leaves, and it's causing them to yellow. I've been picking them off and discarding in fear of having a fungus or something. There are very few leaves left. I have another one I bought at the same time, and they're right next to each other. So far, that one's doing okay. I don't see any insects on the leaves. What do I have, do you think, and what is the best treatment?
Well, the reason is, as far as the yellowing, is that the growing conditions indoors are just not very favorable. They're not getting enough light. The air is dry. And so oftentimes they do lose many or most of their leaves when you bring them inside. So the key there is just to keep them alive and get them outside in the spring. And if you can do that, they should be fine. Make sure they never get completely dry. They like a nice, moist soil. Give them as much light as you can. And basically just get them through the winter and get them back outside in late May, and they should recover.
All right. Here's a question from Jordan. We'll be relocating our farm next season, and I'd like to bring my 5-year-old apple trees and a few young oaks with me. Can I do it? If so, how aggressively should I prune them this winter, or what can I do to prep them for the move?
Well, sure, you could move apple trees and oak trees. I would do it during the dormant season. As far as prepping them for the move, I'm not sure there's a whole lot that can be done.
Give them a pep talk.
Pep talk, yeah. pat them on the branch. But, you know, you want to take as much of the root system with you as you can. But it's one
and
of those.
That's difficult in the dormant season.
It is very difficult. And so you might want to hedge your bets. You could try to do this before it gets really cold in the fall or sometime in March or early April. when you can work in the soil. But I would favor those that are small. I think when you try to move larger plants, your percentage of success goes down. So I would focus on those that are smaller that I can more manageably move.
And he's probably not getting much from five-year-old apple trees anyway, but if he did move, then that would probably set them back as far as fruit production.
Yeah. By a year or two, I would say yes.
Okay. Here is a question from Caitlin in Ames. I have a beautiful large sycamore tree in my backyard. However, one of the lower, still about 15 to 20 feet up, branches has been leaking a fluid that kills the grass below it. The fluid leaks from a black patch on the branch, but the branch still produces leaves. What is this, and what should I do about it?
All kinds of weird things come out of trees sometimes.
Could that be wet wood or slime flux?
Sounds like wet wood. So keep in mind that inside the tree, there might be some tissue that's decaying. The conditions are also anaerobic. And so things often leak out of wounds that don't really hurt the tree, really aren't a big concern for tree health. But I have noticed that the turf grass around certain trees so afflicted can suffer. So, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not harmful to people. It's really not harmful to the tree. Back in the day, we would drill holes or we would install pipes to drain trees. But we now realize that was a bad recommendation. So the best thing to do is to do nothing. Or if the branch is compromised, the branch where this thing is leaking, looks dead or is dying, then you could remove the branch. But there really isn't much to be done.
You might want to mulch underneath you don't have a dead spot.
You could mulch or just look the other way.
Don't put a swing there.
Don't picnic under that
right.
part of the tree.
All right. This is a question from Marlene. Our pin oak has a lot of dead branches that need to be pruned. It has lost all of its leaves, so it's hard to see which branches are dead. Can a professional tell which ones are dead if they're pruning? And can the dead branches be pruned out at other times of the year?
No. Live branches, dead branches, the recommendations are the same on oak. If you're going to prune oak, do so during those times we talked about earlier in the program. Again, shoot for February. So it doesn't matter if it's a live or a dead branch. And yes, a trained arborist should be able to tell the difference between a live branch and a dead branch.
That's in the 101 class?
Well, I would hope so.
All right. Frank is on the line next in Fairfield. Hi, Frank.
Hi, I have wondering whether or not it's better to amend the garden soil in winter or in spring.
Well, you really need to work it up, and so typically you would undo this in the spring or fall. Those would be the best times. As far as amending it with either organic matter or whatever, basically in the spring, as soon as the ground is workable, that would be a great time where you bring in compost and incorporate that into the existing soil, or you could do it in the fall too.
So either way, but it's probably too late now. So, okay.
Well, the ground's frozen right now, so you probably can't really do it right now. So.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for your help.
Thanks a lot for your call, Frank. Next up, Andy in Fort Dodge. Hi, Andy.
Hi. Thank you guys for taking my call, and thank you for this great show. I have some boxwood bushes that I planted probably 4 years ago between two driveways, mine and my neighbor's. And I've had to replace one of them because of winter burn. And I have another one showing signs of winter burn from last winter. And just wondering what I need to do to protect those bushes.
Well, boxwoods are kind of finicky plants. They're not one of my favorite plants for that reason. They are susceptible to winter burn. They'll get some root rots, so they have some issues. As far as winter burn, if they're exposed to the south where they get plenty of sun, you can put a burlap screen in front of them, keeping off the sun and reducing the loss of water from the foliage. If they're exposed to the west, where they get a lot of northwest wind that tends to be very dry, putting a burlap screen in front of that, that will help sometimes. But they also have other issues too. So they're kind of finicky.
Okay. Okay. If I would just take a burlap sack, because actually I do have south and west exposure with those, would just a regular burlap sack over the bushes be good enough? Or do I need to leave some areas open on the other side?
Well, you can just cover them if you want, or you can basically staple those to a wooden stake or whatever.
Okay. Sounds very good. Thank you for your help.
Thanks a lot for your call, Andy. Virginia's up next in Mount Vernon. Hi, Virginia.
Hello. I have two questions. The first one has to do with a ginkgo tree that we purchased about 3 years ago, late in the season, and as soon as we got it home, we didn't know where to put it, so we just dug it into an area behind a fence just to let it sit there, and now it's been 3 years, and I need to move it. So I just want some general help on or advice on that. The second question has to do with a Shade Master honey locust, and I wanted to know when I prune that, should I be trying to encourage a central leader on that?
Let's take the Shade Master locust first. That's the easier one. If you know locusts, you know that they don't develop nice central leaders. I mean, when they're young, I would still try to do that. But after a while, they tend to kind of splay out. And so I'm going to take what the tree gives me. With a Shade Master, I'm more interested in proper branch spacing, not taking too many lower branches off at one time. But I'm not going to drive myself crazy trying to form a central leader on a tree that genetically isn't programmed to do that. So focus more on good branch spacing and taking branches off from the base as you work upwards over time. Don't do it all at once. The ginkgo issue is a difficult one because you've got a tree that's been in the ground for 3 years and now you want to move it, and it probably has developed a pretty good root system. And so you're going to be sacrificing roots. You're going to be digging a root ball that's probably in the neighborhood of 18 to 24 inches across and maybe that deep, and that's a pretty good size root system. So it's not an easy thing to do. It can be done, but I would do it probably sometime in March and see what happens.
All right, Virginia, thanks a lot for your call. And Wendy's on the line from Cedar Falls, but we're almost out of time, so I'm just going to ask her question. She's looking for a flood-resistant type of tree. Good recommendation in 30 seconds?
Bald cypress would be one of my favorites.
You say that every time.
I know. I'm in a rut, but think of floodplain trees. Sycamore, we don't use ash anymore, but silver maple, hackberry. Even the aforementioned honey locust will do pretty well in those areas.
All right. Wendy, thanks for your call. And Jeff Iles, thanks so much for being on the show.
Always fun. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Iles, professor and chair of the Horticulture Department at Iowa State University. Richard Giron, thank you.
You're welcome.
ISU Extension Horticulture Specialist Richard Giron will be back with Horticulture Day in 2 weeks. And of course, we'll be back to weekly shows in March when things hopefully start to warm up a little bit. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Dennis Reese, Matt Alvarez, Rick Brewer, and Caitlin Harrop. We had production assistance today from Julia DiGiacomo. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.